Okay. All right, so let's see. Now we're going to pull up the slideshow. It's not exactly going to be correct on the rest of the presentation, but we'll have to work through those issues. I'll have to click it from here for whatever reason. We've been talking about, not to pick on any particular congregation, but just showing some of the error of at least one so-called conservative congregation and the approaches that they have taken. We're going to have an update too. They're getting ready. They are getting ready to start their assembling together because, as we'd previously seen, they had talked about worshiping together, corporate assembling, being in the realm of differences of opinion. And the reason why this discussion is so important is because this is not just one congregation. It's so many that they just laid it out better than anybody I've seen as far as their rationale. And you're going to notice, and it's so important, that they set forth their guidelines. I believe we're going to see their guidelines have changed. And we'll talk about why their guidelines have changed from the CDC and their so-called collection of raw data. But this is the nature of error. Error is going to shift and change to whatever's convenient because there's no commitment to truth. They had stated that their guiding principle, this eldership at this particular congregation, saying that the guiding principle is the body of Christ must come first. But we've talked about if the body of Christ is really to come first and to take the priority, then wouldn't we go with what Jesus, the head of the church, says rather than talking about all the health, physical health, safety guidelines? Because what is most important is the spiritual health of the body of Christ. And he says, this particular elder, speaking for their eldership, guiding that congregation, says to strive for peace, unity, and love. I believe we've talked about their idea of peace is not the peace that surpasses understanding. Their idea of unity is not the idea of unity in Scripture where we all speak the same thing that there be no divisions among us. 1 Corinthians 1:10. That's not their idea of unity. Now they've shifted to their idea of unity is more like we've talked about where you tie a cat and a dog's tail together and you throw them over a clothesline. That's not unity. That may be union, but it's not unity. And then their idea of love is, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, we all get together. And this particular elder, on behalf of this eldership, had stated that, you know, we're in this together and these are unprecedented times. Nobody now living has seen anything like this. And these are the worst, most difficult of circumstances. And it's not. It's not at all. Oh, what persecution have they or us seen, anything remotely close to anything that we actually see in the book of Hebrews, the book of Revelation particularly, but we'll be talking about Hebrews because it's the only passage he'll have on the slide on in his whole presentation, but he actually does not verbalize Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. He just has it on the slide. Notice then, he says, knowing we are all doing our best under the most difficult of circumstances. It's not. And then, so he says, anticipate some not ready to return to assemblies. Now, they haven't returned yet. And he says, elders' decision is not a mandatory dictate to attend worship assemblies. Well, God's is. God's decision is a mandatory dictate to attend worship assemblies. And he's saying, hey, this is the realm of opinion, and so don't come just because if the elders tell you to. And then notice this kind of trust. Instead of saying the elders trust in God, and we're going to follow God, and we're going to say what God says, and that no one is to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. No, he says elders trust in who? In you and in your love of God. And the elders trust in your love of fellow saints. And where is this? This is trusting in man. We talked Wednesday night about cursed is the man who trusts in man. But there's a blessing for those who trust in the Lord. So this is misplaced trust. And then notice, we understand your reservations. If you're not ready, you're not comfortable, I'm getting so tired of hearing from members of the body talk about my comfort level. This has never been about our comfort level, has it? It has been for a lot of people, so it seems. But in God's book, is it about your comfort level and my comfort level? And hey, this is what makes me comfortable. And I'm not comfortable this, that, and the other. That's such a self-centered religion. it is not the Spirit of Christ. But, you know, this just shows where people are being led whenever it's so shot through. And they talked at length about their 12 wise men and all the people that they corresponded with and they communicated with. And they, you know, as I'm reminded of in Scripture, the Magi, the Magoi, the so-called wise people. And I think back to Daniel's day and all the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of men, it doesn't hold a candle. You can't fit it into a thimble in God's wisdom. And so notice, he says, we understand your reservations. We respect your decision. It's not a matter of a decision that I can make or you can make as to whether or not we assemble together corporately. That's a thus saith the Lord. But now this has all gone into the realm of opinion and elders saying, we respect your decision if it is your decision to continue worshiping with us remotely for the present time. So we have a real problem, but the thing is, it's not just this one congregation. I at least can appreciate. Notice how I'm saying appreciate. I don't appreciate error at all. I'm not saying that for a second. But if somebody at least believes their error firmly enough to put it out there like they have so publicly, I can at least appreciate, so we can then compare that with the Scriptures, because if we're ever going to try to talk the same talk from Scripture, all speak the same things, we're going to have to know where they are with their error. And I'm thankful that they've laid out their error, at least so that, you know, we can be better equipped to confront this error, because it's just, this is the state of the church. And, you know, I'm reminded, I've been going through, as we've talked about, and some of you are too, going through the prophets. And the state of the church now should be in a state of deep mourning and repentance over all of this. But no, their lack, you know, the church as a whole now, all these different congregations, they are like obstinate, stubborn Israel. They're not ashamed. They can't even blush. And they lie down in their sin and in their shame, and they think they're doing the will of God. Notice then, he states what we know for certain. And it's so interesting. It just seems like, I don't know how you can say everything he just said and then make this statement without thinking he's just contradicting himself. He said, worship assemblies are commanded. Pray tell, if they are commanded, why are you saying that people can just worship remotely? A worship assembly means that we have to physically assemble. You cannot, according to Scripture, assemble in any other way. And yet, this lie and this deception is being spread in all kinds of so-called conservative, non-institutional congregations as though we can somehow still assemble and be together online or remotely. You can be out in the parking lot, or you can be across the fence, and somehow we can still all sing together. Uh-uh. And some of them, that is the strongest point that I've been able to make to them, you know, that gets through to them. It's like, how are we singing together? Well, you got a good point. Well, if I've got a good point, wouldn't you want to do what Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16 commands us, where we have to sing together? And sometimes you take whatever you can get to try to help, you know, penetrate this error, because it's rare that we see this kind of sweeping error that people just buy into within the church. I'm limiting this to the church, because it's so strange to me that some in the denominational realm, they understand this idea of assembling far better than members of the church. And they realize, yeah, you're not assembling together if you're not there together in person. And so, but they've shifted all this, and then they're trying to differentiate and say in-person assemblies. And we'll see that terminology in a bit on the update. But notice he says worship assemblies are commanded, solemn and divine duty. If it's solemn and a divine duty, why are you acting like, you know, this elder, why is he acting like it's such a light, flippant thing? And so it's in the realm of opinion. And, you know, if you're not comfortable, you can't in good conscience assemble with us in person. Because this was at the point where they were saying, we're coming back together. And then, you know, they disassembled once again, said, oh, we're calling it all off again. And then they're going to try to bring everybody back again. And then notice, worship assemblies are to God and to each other. And then It's interesting. If you were to go on YouTube and listen to what he says, he doesn't say Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. He just talks about encouraging one another. That is so sad, because what he should have done is, you know, even if he was trying to strengthen his own error, but of course maybe he, you know, I don't know, maybe why he didn't is because he knows that as we turn to Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, how can you believe that this is anything but coming physically together? Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Can we do that remotely? Can we do that without ever being in each other's presence? Verse 25, no, you can't. Notice 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And they would put this in the realm. I heard one preacher, separate and apart from this congregation, yet another non-institutional congregation. It was an address to their members. And he said, well, the closest thing that we're doing to try to keep Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, is what we're doing now. And it was remote, virtual, this pretend artificial worship assembling together. That's never, you know, and we've talked about, and while we have, you know, we were saying this well before all this error came up, but a text can never mean what a text never meant. And that really needs to sink in. A text can never mean what a text never meant. Now, not unless you're somebody else, like one of my professors, and he said, well, because I challenged that whole idea of the song that Jesus is the lily of the valley. And I said, you know, in the book of Song of Solomon, and this is at an academic level, mind you, professor, PhD, all things nearly Hebrew. And I said, in the Song of Solomon, you know, we would have said in the Song of Songs because of the Hebrew title. In the song, you have that Jesus is not the lily of the valley. I said, but this song says that Jesus is the lily of the valley, whereas the lily of the valley was actually the woman. And the woman is saying that, you know, I'm just a common flower. I'm a lily of the valley. I don't look like anything. I'm just common. And yet his point was, you know, it was this idea of, you know, we've got a lot of license. You know, we can make it mean what we want to. He said, well, can we take a text and then fill it with new meaning so that it has new meaning for us? It's like, okay, well, that's not proper exegesis. That's eisegesis, where you inject it. And that's what he's saying. You just inject new meaning into the text. Well, are we going to do exegesis where we draw out the original meaning and so that we try to understand and we try to apply what the text actually meant to our lives? That's what we are supposed to do. Not just, hey, we change the text to whatever we want it to mean. Well, that's exactly what's going on now. And you can see it very clearly within what we'd call the liberal arena or in the realm of academia. Unfortunately, all that kind of thinking has now penetrated in a very thorough way into the church, unfortunately. And it should bother us. It should bother us on a very deep level, because some of us, some of our families have been, you know, maybe most of our families have been affected by this. And certainly the family here has been deeply affected, because some of our own previous members, they didn't get the message well enough, because whenever you, you know, decide, hey, I'm going to leave, and then there's not a congregation for you to even to assemble with that you've identified, obviously people are not wanting to get the message. And so, you know, once we leave this discussion, we won't be coming back to it, but that's the thing. We want to get this and get this well and understand it well, because this is not something that, oh, this error is just going to blow over, it's going to be massive repentance. You know, hopefully that'd be the case, but that's not the indication at this moment. Not any more than what we see in the prophets. If you think about Isaiah, and of course, dealing with the Assyrian captivity, and even predicting about the Babylonian captivity later on, but then Jeremiah and Ezekiel really dealing with the Babylonian captivity, you see that this matter of their sin and idolatry, it's not something that went away quickly, was it? And they were for at least, you know, even after all that 70 years of tears in Babylonian bondage, where they would look longingly to the hills of home in Judea. And they knew it was because of some of them, their own sins, as Daniel, you know, one of the most beautiful prayers in all of Scripture. And he said he was confessing his sins and the sins of his people. But then some of the children that grew up, they were dealing with the consequences of their mothers' and their fathers' sins. And this may be one of those things that the church is going to be punished by God in some way. Yeah, that's the thing. Sin always has consequences. We just don't know what those consequences may be. But I believe some of these congregations are already seeing some of their consequences of their disobedience. And notice, he makes this statement, there will be a time when all in good conscience doesn't have anything to do with keeping God's word. It's like, how can I say in good conscience, you know, I can't in good conscience return to worshiping collectively because I'm afraid I might get a virus, a very small virus. I'm afraid of that. And some of us have had the coronavirus. And once you've had the coronavirus, does it make you, you know, I'm seeing some here that they have had the coronavirus and you're here. As soon as you recover, you're here. You know, should it cause us to think, oh, you know, whoa. You know, the ones I've seen that are more scared of it are those who haven't had any experience with it. And then, you know, some people will say, but you can die. You know, somebody told me, said, well, preachers, they have lungs too, and this affects the lungs, and I'm sure it could, you know, permanently damage the lungs. It's like, okay, so if I'm going to live in fear of what may happen to me, and that dictates whether or not I'm faithful to God, you can forget trying anything remotely close to trying to live through persecution in Revelation. Revelation 2:10, be faithful to death, and I'll give you the crown of life, Jesus says. What does that mean? That means that some of you are going to die because you're faithful to Christ, and it's going to cost you your lives. Well, this should help us, if we want to let it help us, to try to better prepare for such a time, you know, like in Esther, such a time as this, such a time that persecution might come. So it has nothing to do with in good conscience. Why in good conscience should that have anything to do with me returning to worship assemblies? If you're well, you attend. If you're not, or if you are in, you know, you're infected or possibly infected because you have your wife or your husband that has been diagnosed with it, we're not talking about that. We're talking about instances where, you know, they're trying to quarantine the whole congregation. Where in the world in God's book was that ever done? It never was. It never was a matter of quarantining everybody. So, here's the update. They just recently released this. But this is the nature of error. And notice this, resumption of assemblies. You have to really wonder about some of this stuff. It says, based upon the information available to us now, the elders are pleased to announce a phased-in resumption of our worship and Bible study assemblies over the course of August and September. Based upon what information? We have to question everything. Is it based upon the information we now have available to us in Scripture that we've had ever since God penned God's Word? No. That's not what it's based upon. And notice, it's now not based upon, from my knowledge, it's not based upon the guidelines of the CDC or the WHO and, you know, previous guidelines, the raw data they said that they were collecting. How do we know that? Because according to at least the city of Houston, who tries to stay apprised of all of that, things are worse. Things are worse. Why would you try to resume assemblies if in the first place you did it for health concerns? Why are you now saying, hey, we're phasing in? They don't want to tell you what the information available to them. Because if the information available to them, because I don't know if you know, some of you may know, City of Houston, they are actually now going back to, hey, you stay home and you work at home. You work at home and then, you know, you just commute in on a limited basis. Whereas the City of Houston up to this point is, you know, diehard, but they're saying things are getting worse. So their guidelines have shifted. And, you know, my sneaking suspicion is if the truth were to be told, this is not about CDC guidelines. This is not about thus saith the Lord. This is about, you know what, we're having to cut all of our support to all these missionaries, and now we're having to, you know, they have more than one preacher. We're having to consider maybe cutting one whole preacher. I think that's what the information that's now available to them. But that's why they're not wanting to say what that information was, is what I believe. Because why wouldn't you be more transparent? And so then August 16th, which is today, we're not quite ready to come back yet. No resumption of in-person. And notice how they're trying to differentiate that. Worship assemblies. No resumption of in-person worship assemblies. Well, pray tell, can you have a worship assembly if you're not in person? And they, you know, that's why you'll hear some people say, oh, I was worshiping with this congregation in Raleigh, North Carolina. You know, I'm just throwing one out here. I was worshiping with a congregation in Africa today, and I just wasn't even there. No. August 23rd and 30th, resume assemblies for Sunday morning worship services and adult auditorium Bible class only. All Bible classes, including Wednesday night, will remain on live stream and Zoom. In short, they say this is the same approach we followed when we first resumed our assemblies. And so, here's what we need to discuss. We need to discuss, what does God say? What does our head say? Christ is the head of the body, the church. From whom do we take our orders? From whom do we get our guidelines? Well, if we know anything about anything in Scripture, it's that the church takes its orders from its head, Jesus. Not from the elders, not from some human committee. Let's turn to Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And he, God, put all things under his, Jesus' feet, and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the body. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians 1, verse 18. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. He may have first place. Jesus is the one who has priority. Notice this point. Elders cannot make, as that one elder said, cannot make, you know, he said that, they're making the difficult decision. No, elders cannot make a so-called difficult decision to discontinue assembling together on the first day of the week. That's commanded by God. Acts 20, verse 7. They clearly were assembling on the first day of every week. Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. Sure, if you're sick, if you have leprosy, if you have coronavirus, you're down with the flu, stay home. Quarantine yourself. Don't quarantine the whole congregation. That was never heard of. And notice, as we're mentioning, Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, notice, Acts 20, verse 7 clearly establishes for us an approved example. We've talked about how do we establish biblical authority? How do we know what God wants us to do? Well, you have a direct statement, a direct command from God is one way. Here is another way in which you have an approved example. An example that they did that is approved by God and that God wants us to imitate and to continue. And of course, notice when this started. It was Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, they continued steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostles, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and the prayers. How do we know that? Because the day of Pentecost fell on the first day of the week. So Acts 20, verse 7 establishes for us an approved example. And of course, we draw the necessary inference from either a direct statement or an approved example. And the only necessary inference you can necessarily infer is that God commands and requires us to assemble together as part of his commands. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 establishes the command to assemble. When you have not forsaking the assembling, then in order to keep it, you have to be able to assemble, as we've already talked about Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as is the habit of some. Notice then the church is to worship together and work together. We've talked a lot about working together. And we talked about in the past the need to worship together, but we better thought, at least I did, that the church by and large understood worship. At one point, prior to all this, I had said that, you know, we've really focused in on worshiping together, and we didn't focus enough on working together. Now we're back to having to focus on worshiping together. But the thing is, we cannot work together if we don't worship together. Bottom line from Scripture. We're going to have to stop here. Our time is gone for this first session. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. And we've spent more time on, more recently on 1 Corinthians 10, but not nearly the time we've spent on it as we have on 1 Corinthians 11. But we're going to see the same concept, the same idea, the same teaching in 1 Corinthians 10 as we, verses 16 and 17 as we do in 1 Corinthians 11. We'll stop here, Lord willing, come back to this discussion. If you're here this morning, if we can help in any of your spiritual needs, would you come as we stand, as we sing?
I heard old, old story, our Savior came from glory. He gave his life on Calvary, and chose to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, all the precious blood atoning. And then I repented all my sin, and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing fire revealing. He made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And in a bright dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. I didn't obey his blessed command and gained the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. And I heard about the mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Be seated, please. Thank you, Timothy. To prepare our minds and for taking of the Lord's Supper, let us turn to number 578. 578.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, and the emblem of suffering and shame. And a lot there all grows, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinner was slain. So a cherished the old rocking cross, that at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old no subtraction for me. Father dear, Lamb of God, left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I cherish the old rocket crow till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rocket crow and exchange this someday for a crown. In the old rocket crow, say with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. But 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish the old till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rocket cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rocket cross I will ever be true, his shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I share. So I cherish the old rocket cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rocket cross and exchange it someday for a
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we assemble here before this table, we're about to partake of this bread. Let us partake of this in remembrance of his body, which he gave for us, the body of Christ, the perfect sacrifice. As we do this, let us discern this in our hearts, Father, and may it be in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful that you've given us a way to remember the sacrifice of your Son. And Father, it is at this time that we give you thanks for the blood that had to be shed and that your Son was willing to do so. For there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And we know that the blood of animals could never do it. It took the blood of your dear Son. Help us to remember this as we partake of this cup. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Close the Lord's Supper, and now we take this time to lay by in store for the work here at this congregation. Father, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for being our God and our Father. And may remember all the gifts we receive or we haven't earned, but you've given to us through your generosity. We thank you that we have jobs so that we might make a living to support our family and to support the work of the church. As we give back at this time, may we do so with love and with understanding, and may the funds you be used wisely for the congregation here to spread the gospel. For we pray in Christ's name, amen.
Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that you've loved us. You loved us to such an extent that you're willing to give the very best of heaven, your Son Jesus, that he was willing to come to this earth in the most humble of circumstances, and that he was willing to live humbly among people, and to die the most insulting and degrading of any death, especially for a Hebrew. We ask that you will help us to walk worthy of the calling with which you've called us, that we will walk in lowliness, and that we will walk humbly before you in living lives of service all the days of our lives, and that you'll help us
to continue worshiping together, that we may work together to your glory, to the salvation of souls, and that you and your Son may be honored, and that more souls will be in heaven in the great by and by. We ask that you will be with those of our members who are currently facing various trials, those trials that are both physical trials and especially the spiritual trials. We ask that you will help us to bear one another's burdens, that we may fulfill the law of Christ. Father, we ask that you will help us to have the spirit of your Son, Jesus, to know that it was a bold spirit, it was a loving spirit, it was a spirit of humble service, it was a spirit that held tenaciously to the truth and would not compromise. And help us to be people that will live in such a way that others about us may know of our love for each other, and knowing that that's how we will be known, and that you will help us to spread your word, that we will know it, and we will continue to learn it, and we'll love it, that we may live it. We ask that you will help us realize how frail we are and how fleeting life is. We pray that you will help us to be motivated to use whatever amount of time you give to us, that we may use it to your eternal glory, knowing that we have spent too much of our past lifetimes doing the will of the flesh, and that we must now use our lives for your will. We ask all these things through your Son and our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Look at all the stories. Well, did you find a pair of them?
Then
It took them 70 years. Still there, they never did get back.
Persecute the prophets who were telling the truth the whole time. Oh, anywho. We're having issues with this, and we can't even get the clicker to work. I don't know what this is going to do.
She's had a little bleeding heart. She said, "Why don't you embrace it? Open it for us." I said, "No, why don't you bring us anything?"
That's right.
And I said, "Well," she said, "I said, well, you tell me about the cooking. They come over to a place and they use it.
And they can't even assemble
it." I said, and she was, "Well," she said, "Miss Cat," I said, "we got to come. I don't want to go in there. I said, "They come to the house. I'm not going up there to see them. You want to drop you some food off that chair. I don't want to see them." They're going to a place and I go to a place they knew.
They're going into a known place in
America.
I know. I'm with you because
Ejo brought up a question about the announcements having three announcers a year. Do we want to go back to having it once a month? Changing it out once a month?
It's whatever you think best.
I don't care. We made that decision a while back. We've been doing it all year. But I don't remember if we did it last year or not. So you want to talk to Roy and Gene about it? Because some of the members are no longer here. Maybe they, Roy and Gene, may have a different opinion. I don't care one way or the other. But if you have, you want to talk to Roy and Gene about it and see if they got an opinion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and Gene, is he going to help with the announcements?
What's that?
Will he help with the announcements?
I don't know. He might now at this point.
Yeah, Ken, I don't know what to do about trying to fix any of this stuff. I have no idea. I can't.
You ready to go back to work?
Yeah, I don't know what. Because it's just no matter what. So it's like this is shut down. The battery's working, but it is like that shut down. And then
maybe turn for new. It'll last forever.
That's right. Yeah, it's just, and then I don't know if something's going on. It seems like it's maybe a separate issue.
I didn't floor with that I can remember.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that did anything or not when we were starting. Because when I try to do, the magnifying, it just magnifies. It goes way too far. And see if you can shift it this way and that way, but that doesn't help us because I just need it to go smaller. And this doesn't seem to.
That's not the magnifier, that's the volume.
I know.
Interesting.
And so
it would be really cool if we could change the scale by small increments.
Yeah, and I thought we could at one point. See, here's magnified, but all you can do then is, I know, so I don't know.
Magnified is it only has one setting?
That's video. Hit the wrong one. And maybe that's what I need to do, is just start the thing over. Maybe that'll
be. Computer is not the definition of insanity to do the same thing over and over.
Nope, input is detected, so let's see.
HDMI, you probably need the serial.
Component, is it component?
Maybe.
S video.
Yeah, or maybe less.
Video?
But it depends on your immune system. Yeah. And you would exactly.
That's the only choices we got.
Well,
it's one of us.
Yeah. But you would think it would.
That's called necessary.
It would pull up. It's not S video, is it?
What's going on, Ejo?
I may have really messed it up. Oh, and what would you do then?
This is my neighbor's Brittany and Brayden.
Do we even know which one this is?
Yeah.
Where is the serial port?
Is that the...
That should be computer.
Computer? Okay, I hit the wrong one. Okay, wow, so it's just computer. And then this is where we were. So the aspect... The aspect, here's 1610. There's normal. Well, and then it's kind of whatever causes it to work the best here. You know what? That does seem like that's... Is that the same where it was? Okay, because is that what...
That looks good.
Is better? You know what, then? Aspect, normal, 4.3, 16.9, 16.10. There's normal. There's 4.3, so it's all the same there. So is that bigger? Okay. So anyway,
let me leave it just like that.
And you know what? Maybe because we, hit the computer, and then because that seems like it may have done
something.
Well, because I was doing all the same stuff before.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's real interesting.
That's what computers are for.
It's not, to me, predictable.
Make your life miserable.
Yeah. Problem with this drive, so. Okay, well. Yeah, maybe yours will be better with the
power ball load. We've got a map in there from Steve Rudd's website. We really gobbling up a lot of room.
So, it's a good map. The Audacity, I think I still have it running. It had 726, and I tried to recover it. It said it recovered, I didn't know. So I tried to recover it, and it wouldn't recover, so I had to close it down. But now this one.